ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय
Stirajangameshu
Antarhitascha Stirajangameshu
Namatma Bhavena Samanvayena
Brahmatma Bhavena Samanvayena
Vyaptya Vyava Chidama Sangamatmano Vyavyavyavacchedamasangamatmano Munena bhashtvam vititasya bhavayet Tarhitascha stirajangameshu Vena samanvayena Vyavyavyavacchedama sangamatmano Munirna bhashtvam vititascha bhavayet Antarhitascha sthirajangameshu Namatma bhavena samanvayena Vyavyavyavacchedama sangamatmano Antaritaha, present within,
also,
sthira,
all
non-moving living bodies, jangameshu, and all moving forms of life. Rama Atma Bhavena
by realization
that he himself is pure spirit Samanvayena
as a result
of the different contacts
with different bodies Vyaptya
because of being all pervading
Avyavacchedam
the feature of being undivided
Asangam
being unattached Atmanaha, possessed by the super soul. Munihi, a sage. Nabhastvam, the similarity with the sky. Vitatasya,
of the expansive.
Bhavayet.
Should meditate upon.
A thoughtful sage, even while living within a material body, should understand himself to be pure spirit soul.
Similarly, one should see that the spirit soul enters within all forms of life, both moving and non-moving, and that the individual souls are thus all-pervading. The sage should further observe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Supersoul is simultaneously present within all things. Both the individual soul and the Supersoul can be understood by comparing them to the nature of the sky. Although the sky extends everywhere and everything rests within the sky does not mix with anything, nor can it be divided by anything. Therefore, although air exists within the sky or space is different from air. Even in the absence of air, space or sky is present. All material objects are situated within space or within the vast material sky, but the sky remains undivided and, although accommodating all objects, never actually mixes with anything. In the same way, one can understand the situation of both the individual soul and the supersoul. The individual soul is all-pervading because there are innumerable jivatmas which enter within all things. Yet, as confirmed in Vedic literature, each individual atma remains infinitesimal. The Sweta Svatara Upanishad, chapter 5, text 9, states, Bala grasata bhagasya satatha kalpitasya cha bhago jiva savidyaya sa chanantyaya kalpate. When the upper point of a hair is divided into 100 parts, and again each of such parts is further divided into 100 parts, each such part is the measurement of the dimension of the spirit soul. The same is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kesha grasata bhagasya satamsa sadrishatmakaha jiva sukshma svarupoyam sankhyatito hichitkanaha. There are innumerable particles of spiritual atoms which are measured as 1/10,000th of the upper portion of the hair. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is all-pervading because he himself is personally present everywhere. The Lord is known as Advaita, or indivisible. Thus the same unique personality of Godhead exists everywhere, just like the sky, and yet is not attached to anything, although everything is resting within him. The Lord himself has confirmed this analysis of his all-pervasiveness in Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, text 6. Yathaka sa stito nityam vayu sarvatra go mahan tatha sarvani bhutani matstani pyupataraya. As the almighty wind blowing everywhere always rests in ethereal space, know that in the same manner all beings rest in me. Therefore, although both the jiva soul and the super soul are said to be all-pervading, it should be remembered that there are innumerable jiva souls, whereas there is only one Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is always supreme, and one who is actually a thoughtful sage never doubts the supreme position of the Lord. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tatisva Sadantitam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pankunam Khayate Girim Yakripatamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. This is a very important point, a point which is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Basically, there are two aspects of the Lord's energies which are being described here. The first is the living entity. the spirit soul, the jivatma, the jivamaya, if you like, that energy of the Lord that manifests as the individual living souls. Now, the Shastra explains that the jiva is manifest everywhere. Everywhere. That means that the whole of the creation is full of jivas. Huh? That's what it says. That doesn't mean that every jiva is everywhere. Because we're obviously not everywhere. We're only in one place. But there are so many jivatmas that you can't count them. And they fill up everything. And they're either conscious or unconscious. Lord Chaitanya explains this. It's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how there are some conscious living entities and unconscious living entities. The unconscious living entities are the ones that make up the dull, inert matter. So here it mentions, we have those that move and those that don't move. Existing within everything, infinitesimally small. So there's living entities everywhere. The place is just jammed, packed full of them. And they manifest in different forms. In different, even though, you know, we can analyze our own body. Our body is primarily really the main conscious entity within the body. But how many living entities actually exist within the body? That's infinitesimal, practically speaking. If we were to count all of the living entities that make up the cells and bits and pieces that are in our bodies. First point. The living entity is infinitesimal and he's everywhere. Now, the example is given to illustrate this point is to get some idea of it is Krishna explains, just as the air fills up the sky. So the air is the molecules and the particles and so forth that fills up the space. And that space is, in the example, is likened to Krishna. All of the living entities are situated within the Supreme Person who exists everywhere. Just as the space exists everywhere, and within the space we put the air. So similarly also, Krishna is present everywhere, but in his avyaktamurtina, in his unmanifest form. And inside that are all of the living entities. So, he is manifest everywhere in his super soul feature. He's manifest everywhere in his Brahman feature. And actually, he's also manifest everywhere in his Bhagavan feature. But depending on our depending on our bhakti, we're able to see him or realize his presence within everything. Yeah? What most people think is that because Krishna is spread everywhere and because he's manifest in his impersonal form, then that's his form, he's impersonal. But actually he says, I'm personally present. Especially as a super soul, he actually, even though we're not able to see his presence, actually he says, I'm personally present. So this is a bit of a mystery, actually. You know, is he personally present? Is he manifest impersonally? How does he do that? And of course, this can be a cause of confusion or dilemma. Especially for the Very good. What's your name? Huh? A new manifestation of the illusory energy. And the spiritual energy, of course, at work. We have to learn to see the spiritual energy. So, what is it? Is Krishna impersonal, manifest impersonally, or is he manifest personally? How is it? How does he do that? Well, first of all, this is part of his achincha shakti, inconceivable potency, that he is able to be personally present and also impersonally present. He's inconceivable and unlimited. So he is able to have both a personal and impersonal feature. This is described in the Bhagavatam. Vedanti tattvavidas jnanam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti sabjate. So this non-dual substance, which means, as it's mentioned here, advaita, there's no duality in the Lord. So these things are not like the dualities of material existence, but they're manifestations of the different energies of the variegated nature of God, of Krishna. So he has the capacity to manifest in all of these different features. They're all spiritual. Advayam. Non-dual. So purely spiritual, but in nature. But manifest differently. So we have the Brahman feature, which is the effulgence of Krishna's form, actually. Within which all of the living entities are actually manifest, but without a personality. Then there's the Paramatma, the feature of the Lord who exists within everything, the personal feature of the Lord that exists within everything. The Upadrashta Anumanta cha, the overseer and the permitter of everything, especially certainly in the material world. And then there's the Bhagavan aspect, who is the source of the Paramatma and the Brahman feature. Also the source of the living entities, the Jiva Mayi. Also the source of the Guna Mayi, the material energy as well. Krishna is the Bhagavan, is the source of, he's the origin of all of the different manifestations of different energies. The Antaranga Shakti, that's the internal potency, the Bahiranga Shakti, the external potency, the material energy, and also the source of the Jiva Shakti, or the Tatastha Shakti, that's us, the living entities. And of course the living entity is called marginal because he can become influenced by the spiritual potency, the Antaranga spiritual energy, or we can get overcome by the Gunamayi, the material energy. Or, you know, we can be in the spiritual energy one day and in the Gunamayi the next. Depending on, you know, what side of bed we got out on. Gunamayi, the material energy. Daivihi eshu Gunamayi, mama maya daratyaya. Very difficult to overcome without surrendering to Krishna. One cannot overcome the influence of the material energy. But under the influence of the spiritual potency, the Antaranga Shakti, the Tatastha Shakti can become situated in their constitutional position, original position. Under the influence of the spiritual energy, one is able to act on the spiritual platform. Under the influence of the material energy, one acts on the material platform, thinking one is a product of something that they're not. That's the nature of when the living energy, when the Jivamayi surrenders to the Gunamayi, then his original spiritual identity just gets covered over and forgets who he is. Under the influence of the internal or spiritual potency, then the living entity reawakens to their spiritual identity. And so the importance of association is critical. And somewhat the essence, if you like, of these verses here, because the Avadhuta Brahmana is talking to Maharaj Yadu and explaining how the sadhu or saintly person should see themselves in relationship to the material energy, and how, especially in this case, one should see oneself as the pure spirit soul rather than a product of the material energy. And he's explaining how the pure spirit soul is actually situated within the creation, present with the Lord. Prabhupada often gives this example, certainly in the Bhagavad Gita, he gives the example of the two birds on the tree, and how one end represents the living entity, the other represents the super soul. And how the living entity, that bird, is eating the fruits of the tree. He's attached to the fruits of the tree. And so, as a result of that attachment, he eats the bitter and sweet fruits, which is basically existence in the material world. We eat the bitter fruits of our bad karma and the sweet fruits of our good karma. But actually, we could be tasting the eternally sweet fruit of our original spiritual existence, for which the super soul is waiting for us to turn to realize our original spiritual position, and to realize the futility of trying to enjoy on a material platform. Enjoying on a material platform means always pleasure and pain, hot and cold, happiness and distress, fame, infamy, etc. One lifetime beautiful, next lifetime ugly. This is the nature of enjoyment in the material world, is to simply experience the comings and goings of material existence. It's not permanent. So the transcendental bird sitting in the tree is waiting for the bird attached to enjoying the fruits of material existence to turn to him for advice and guidance. In other words, the right kind of association, basically. So the instruction here is one should act in the material world as if one is not part of the material world. One should remain aloof, and one has to cultivate a proper understanding, a proper knowledge of things as they are. And so therefore this instruction is given, this example is given, that the living entity is actually originally transcendental and has a connection with Krishna. Krishna is aloof from everything. He's not affected by the influence of material comings and goings. even though when he appears in the material world, he appears to take on a form like everybody else, still that form is not under the influence of karma or under the influence of the material energy. That form is purely transcendental, whereas the forms of living entities are manifest as a result of their karma and vikarma. So it's recommended that one recognize the supreme position of the Lord, and then recognizes our position in relationship with Him. Jivera Swarupoi Nitya Krishna Das. We're always a servant of Krishna. Of course, we forget that. And the influence of the material energy, we forget that we're the servant, and we start to think we're all the master. But this is actually illusion. So it is recommended that we remember that actually we are part of the infinitesimal. Infinite number of living entities that exist within the whole creation. Very, 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 very small and minute. And as a result of our minuteness, recognize that there's the tendency to fall under the influence of the material energy. Well, we probably, as Prabhupada said, you know, to one devotee who said he fell into Maya, Prabhupada said, you fall into Krishna consciousness. You're mostly in Maya. But this is why we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, associate with the devotees, so that at least we can get some understanding or inkling or insight into the nature of the self. You know, this is self-realization. And self-realization means understanding our position for what it is, and what it means to be the controller or the support of everything. Krishna says, what is it? Sutre manikana eva. What's the beginning of that? What's the first word? Mata parakaram nanyap kinchit asti dananjayas. Mayi sarvamidam prottam. Sutre manikana eva. Yeah. So Krishna is the support of everything, but invisible. It's manifest in this impersonal feature, if you like, or invisible. Let's not call it impersonal. Let's call it invisible feature. And when it says, you know, the living entity is spread everywhere, that doesn't mean that we're spread everywhere. It means that there are unlimited numbers of living entities spread everywhere within the creation. Yet, they're all depending on Krishna, who is all-pervading, their support, all-pervading as their support. And the living entity is moving through the material energy, through the different forms of life. Experiencing the samsara. Abrahma bhuvana loka puna avatino juna. From the highest to Lord Brahma's planet to the lowest, just experiencing repeated birth and death as a result of that associating with the material energy. So one has to learn how to associate it with the spiritual energy and then rise above this, the influence of the Bahiranga or the external potency. And of course that's where the importance of association comes in. By associating with the devotees, the Sat Sangha, then one is put into an environment where one's spiritual identity is reawakened. If we associate with those who are attached to the asat, then that then covers over our spiritual identity. So association is so important. Asat sangha tyagi vaishnava cha, the associate. The measure of a devotee, one of the measures of a devotee is that they, as much as possible, avoid the association of those who are attached to the asat. Because by association one gets the same qualities. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. The one before or the one after?
Vihaya Kama Yasana.
It's to do with Sangha, association. Sangha Sanjayate Kama. Yeah. By the association that we have, we'll develop the same kind of qualities. You know, if you associate with the drunks in the park, then what happens? You become a drunk in the park. If you associate with the sadhus, then you become a sadhu. If you embrace the association of the sadhus wholeheartedly, then the quicker one will become a sadhu. Of course, we have to give up our attachments. There's the story of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur tells the story of the wedding party and how, you know, in India, a wedding party is a very joyous occasion. When we were in Noida in February, there was weddings going on, and every night there'd be a big procession, big band, playing of drums. Somebody's always playing, you know, one of those electronic keyboards and wailing away. And everybody's having, and they're letting off fireworks every 10 metres down the road. The poor groom is stuck on a horse and they're letting off fireworks and dancing, banging the drums. Everybody's having a great time. So anyway, in Bengal, one of the traditional methods of getting around the country was by barge on a boat. In fact, before the British came, there was an intricate system of canals and an irrigation system, basically, that had been established. So that's how people got around also. So everybody's having a great time, the wedding is on, they've all had the feast and they're all a bit intoxicated. So they get on the boat, laughing and carrying on, and then the boatman starts rowing. And they're going on throughout the night having a good time. But then when the sun rises in the morning, they wake up and they look around and they haven't gone anywhere because they forgot to untie the boat. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says this is like a devotee who takes to the process of devotional service but doesn't relinquish their attachments to material things. So even though they may be chanting Hare Krishna, which is like rowing the boat, which is giving us forward motion, because we're still hanging on to our attachments, then we don't go anywhere. You know, so sometimes we lament, oh, I'm not making any advancement, why am I making any advancement? Not fair. The reason why we're not making advancement is because we're not wholeheartedly surrendering to the process and surrendering to Krishna, leaving everything up to Krishna. We're still hanging on to our sangha, bad association, or asat sangha. So asat sangha means to give up the association of materialistic people, but also to give up our material attachments. So we're not associated with them subtly. Which requires austerity and it's penance, actually, giving up the attachment to our own material desires is a challenge. So when one's able to understand the pure transcendental nature of the spirit soul, free from the contamination of the material energy, and then act on that platform. That's why these descriptions are given. You know, when we perform the deity worship in the morning, there are a number of things that we have to do in order to develop our consciousness and prepare ourselves. So we're meditating on a spiritual platform. Some of these things are not actually some of these things, I was just reading the other day, some of these things are not actually directly spiritual, they're secondary to the process. But actually they're essential. If we don't follow them, then our progress is impeded. So, you know, some of the first things we do is we wake up in the morning, we clean our teeth and wash our body. Now, you know, cleaning your teeth and washing your body is not inherently spiritual. But it's necessary for us to make spiritual advancement. And of course, the cleansing of the body is then meant for us to be in a... And of course, you know, if you rise early in the morning and take a bath and cleanse yourself, then that is actually supportive of spiritual life, because what it means is that, you know, if we become habituated to rising early and cleansing ourselves, it helps to purify the mind and keep oneself somewhat detached and peaceful. So in a detached and peaceful frame of consciousness, then one can render some service to Krishna. So we wash ourselves, we put on our tilak, we put on fresh clothes, and then before we enter the deity room to render some service to Krishna, then we perform what's called the Bhuta Shuddhi, which means meditating on our original spiritual identity. I mean, even if we don't go into the deity room, we can meditate on this. It's actually part of the cleansing process of the Archana Paditi, or the as we have it now, the Pancharatra Pradeep. So these meditations on the nature of the soul and the nature of Krishna and how infinitesimal numbers of living entities are all situated within Krishna. And now ultimately then that means we have a relationship with Krishna. Krishna is so powerful and so potent that even though there are an infinitesimal number of living entities, still he is able to maintain a personal relationship with each one of them, with each one of us. So these meditations are important. So that we can understand the transcendental nature of Krishna, but also understand the transcendental nature of our own identity in relationship with Krishna, free from the influence of the material energy. And of course that freedom from material influence comes about as a result of good association and a proper understanding of things as they are. I'm finished. Does anyone have any comments or questions on any of these points?
Just
Japa. I don't think I mentioned Japa, did I? Yeah, you're mentioning it. Go on.
When
we chant Krishna, that's also meant to be serving.
How
do you work out who you're supposed to be serving? How do we know whether we're serving Krishna, the spiritual master, or the devotees? Or which one are we serving? You see, serving Krishna and serving the devotees is serving the spiritual master. Right? And serving the spiritual master is serving Krishna and the devotees. So they're all somewhat linked. If you're serving the devotees, then the spiritual master doesn't say, don't serve the devotees. He encourages, no, serve the devotees. And in fact, the spiritual master will, as I've mentioned before, the spiritual master is actually the external manifestation of the super soul, the manifestation of Krishna. He is as good as Krishna. And so usually the spiritual master will arrange for us to be looked after by the devotees. Right? So therefore, and you know, you can see that or appreciate that in statements where Prabhupada said, you know, your love for me will be measured by how much you cooperate with each other. So just by working with the devotees, we're serving the order of the spiritual master. So, you know, there's actually no difference between serving Krishna, serving the guru, and serving the devotees. In the association of advanced devotees, they're all seen as being basically the same thing. It's just that Krishna manifests in a variety of ways to interact with and to provide opportunities for purification for the living entities. So usually speaking, we mean the devotees as Krishna's representatives and as representatives of the spiritual master. And one person, or often one person, becomes what's called the Vatma Pradashika Guru. That person who shows us the way to Krishna consciousness. Right? So there's a special respect for that particular person. Then, you know, as we associate with the devotees, others become more prominent. So they become siksha, gurus. As Prabhupada says, that person who is the most prominent siksha guru most often becomes the initiating guru also. Not always, but that's the general or the. And of course, you know, what are the devotees saying? What does the guru say? The guru says, don't worship me, worship Krishna. Certainly, the spiritual master is worshipped. But why do we worship the spiritual master? We worship the spiritual master because the spiritual master teaches us how to worship Krishna. And, you know, usually the spiritual master says, you know, live in the association of the devotees, serve with the devotees, work with the devotees. And what are the devotees doing? Hopefully. Huh? Well, yeah, serving the spiritual master. What's the spiritual master telling them to do? Serve Krishna. So they're ultimately serving Krishna.
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that na aham prakasha sarvasha yoga maya samagata moro na aham abhijanati lokomam ajumavaya. So my first question is that Why is he hidden from the general mass of
public? The mood house.
General mass of public.
Because they're mood house.
And my second,
they're not qualified to see him. That's it, basically. They're not qualified. And even when they do see him, they think he's, you know, Manushim Tanamastri Tam. They think he's taken shelter of the material form. Right?
He's so easily available that he wouldn't be that special.
Yeah, that's also another factor. If he was easily accessible, but he's not easily accessible when they're mudhas. Actually, he is easily accessible, but because they're mudhas and they can't access him, you see.
Why are they mudhas?
Because they have a desire to be separate from Krishna. That's the definition of a mudha.
Bewildered, yeah.
But why are they bewildered? Because of their desire. It's not that, you know, Krishna just suddenly strikes somebody down, okay, be a mudha. You know, because he doesn't like them. It's because of their desire, basically. Which is hard for, you know, hard for us to come to terms with, because it means we're the master of our own destiny there. It's hard for us to understand, how come these bad things happen to good people? Well, bad things don't happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. Because that's the nature of the law of karma. You're getting reactions for your misbehavior. So why are you a mudha? Because you're a mudha. Because of your own choices. Huh? And see, the thing is that Krishna actually is special, and he does present himself for the mudhas in ways that help to purify them. But because they're mudhas, sometimes they don't appreciate that. But he does manifest in the form of the devotees, in the form of prasadam, in the form of the harinam. He manifests in so many ways for the greater purification of the mudhas. So that the mudha eventually becomes a bhakta. So that's the first question. What was the second question?
The first question was, why is he
a mudha?
Why is Krishna hidden behind so many energies, like the external energy and yoga maya, so many? I don't know how many are there. And so he has made himself very difficult to approach.
No. He's easily approached. But because the living entity has embraced the material energy, then he's covering himself. He's covered himself. He's embraced the material energy, and so as a result of that, the jiva maya has surrendered to the guna maya. And as a result of surrendering to the material energy, then he's actually covered himself. His choice. Your choice. Right? No, Krishna didn't do it. You know, that's what you say to your parents, or well, you probably didn't say to your parents, we say, you know, I didn't ask to be born, you did it. It's your fault. Huh? Not realizing that there's a little bit more to life than just what your parents do. So, because of the choices that people make, then they get certain reactions. When we make the choice of surrendering to the material energy, then one of the reactions is that we get covered over. Anything else? Okay, Gangarachina Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Prabhupada Ki Jai.